This is the Santa Trackers podcast from SantaTrackers.net.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Santa Tracker Podcast. I'm Elf Frank Murr of North Pole Radio News, and I'm joined once again by Elf Crash Murphy, International Director of Santa Trackers, and our Eye in the Sky reporter who follows Santa behind his sleigh every year. Crash, we've sat down a couple of times since the first of the year to do this episode of the podcast, and well, each time our conversation has wandered into areas that really have nothing to do with tracking Santa.
Yeah, sorry about that, Frank. The first quarter of the year tends to bring out the wanderer in me, and I get easily sidetracked into talking about things like out there cooking or dogs or fishing or, in your case, knitting. And while those are topics that you and I enjoy, I think our listening audience deserves a little bit better from us.
Well, bear down, Crash. Let's stay focused. We've got elves out there depending on us to serve first-rate Santa and North Pole content, and we should be able to keep that up for 10 or 15 minutes or so, don't you think?
I do, Frank. I'll try my best. Where do you want to start?
I think we begin right where we left off, Crash, with Santa's flight on Christmas Eve. It's that ride, most recently taken by Santa, who set a new all-time speed record, getting the job done in under 30 hours for the first time in recorded history. Crash, if Santa did it in 30 hours, I guess we're failing to remember that you did too. You set a record too for Eye in the Sky reporters. Is anyone talking about that?
No, Frank, and thanks for bringing it up because it took my reindeer about 2 weeks to recover from that nonsense, and I think they deserve a medal. They flew their fluffy little butts off, and it's high time they get some credit for it.
You almost sound a little irritated about the whole thing, Crash.
No, I'm not annoyed or irritated or miffed about it, but the news coverage, the North Pole about this thing, has been insane, and I'm kind of a little tired of it, and I think the credit for all that isn't spread around enough. I mean, that sleigh will go into the Hall of Fame, and those guys in the sleigh department who designed and tested it, they surely should take a bow, especially after everything that happened the year before. I'd say the best thing coming out of all this is that confidence has been restored in the sleigh department, and that's a good thing. But a lot of others deserve some credit, too, especially Santa's reindeer and all the support teams at Flight Command. As with all things we do, Frank, it's a team effort, and the spotlight needs to shine on a few more folks.
Well, what about Santa, Crash? How does he really feel about this record?
You know, Frank, since we got back, he hardly talks about it. In fact, I think it kind of annoys him when someone brings it up.
What about during that flight, Crash? Did you and Santa talk about setting a record while you were on that flight?
Oh, heck yeah, Frank. It started in the sleigh barn before he launched, Frank. Santa looked at me and he gave me a thumbs up just before launching and he said, "Crash, try to keep up." And that kind of started the whole thing. We had a great time all during that flight, going back and forth about it. I know I told you on the radio at the time that to talk about it would be to jinx it, Frank, but the truth is, we talked about it the whole way, right up until the end.
Well, Crash, that's quite an admission. Isn't that kind of like talking about a no-hitter in the seventh inning?
Yeah, it is, but Santa was in his zone, and he knew it, and I knew it, and I'm telling you, when Santa gets that twinkle in his eye, there's no stopping him, Frank. I knew it right away. I just didn't want to be the one to mess it up by talking about it.
Well, did it occur to you that you were setting a record at the same time?
Only when I had to change out my reindeer. I had 4 changeouts to my team, Frank, and that's never newsworthy, you know. But I changed them out in Guam, and then again in India, and then again in Greece. And then the last time there in Brazil, I used 3 teams, ending with the same team I started with, so 24 reindeer in all, and that was the only way I could keep up with Santa. I think the toughest part was Sector 5 because Santa went through North America like a hot knife through butter.
You know, from the cheap seats here, I thought Santa had it all wrapped up even before he got to Sector 5.
He did, and he knew it, Frank. I think he was just messing with people by that point.
What do you mean?
Well, I think he pushed the bedtime advisory thing in Sector 5 about as far as he could. The warnings he sent out that he was on the way were popping up in some cases at 6 p.m. local time, and we had people out there saying, "What? Santa really enjoyed hearing how that messed with them.
So he was just teasing?
Well, yeah, of course he was just teasing. You can never get Sector 5 to go to bed early. They're too uptight there, Frank. They love Santa, and they can't wait for him to get there. The kids, especially in Sector 5, get really excited and worked up on Christmas Eve. Some kids get so excited they throw up in anticipation.
They throw up?
Yeah, that's runaway happiness, Frank. One mom left a note for Santa saying that next year she's going to line the stockings that they hang with barf bags in them because her boys loaded up on cookies and Christmas goodies, and then they hurled as Santa got closer and closer to their house. And they weren't sick. They were paralyzed with anticipation and moved by all the excitement.
Well, Crash, I can't imagine being so excited.
Well, it's been a long time since you were 8, Frank. For a kid, that's the big leagues, you know, staying up to anticipate Santa's coming and then not being able to go to sleep. That kind of strange torture is huge in Sector 5, and they can't get enough of it. For the sake of parents out there, I think Santa might want to think about dialing it back a notch or two.
Do you think he'd do that?
Not really, no. Santa likes it when the kids get excited.
Crash, what did the kids think about Santa's record?
I think it added a little to the excitement, Frank. We had one kid in particular from, I don't know, somewhere in Minnesota, where he was so excited by Santa's speed that he went to bed at 4:30 in the afternoon, and there was nothing his parents could say to get him to come out for the Christmas Eve jammy picture. They had to shoot it in his room with him in his bed. To his credit, Santa was there earlier than ever, but it was still close to midnight at best, Frank. Santa gave him a new alarm clock, amongst other things, for Christmas.
A new alarm clock? Whatever for?
Well, so that he could wake up everyone in the house at 3:30 a.m. to open up presents, and I have it on good authority that it all worked, too.
Crash, do you think this 30-hour thing will still be a big deal going forward?
I kind of doubt it, Frank. I mean, I think Santa's pushed it as far as he can with the technology and stuff, and that he did want to continue, you know, if he did want to continue shaving minutes off that flight time, he probably could, but I don't think we can push the world any further, Frank. They're just not going to put up with that.
Well, what do you mean by that, Crash?
Well, I mean that you can go to bed too early. Christmas Eve should be savored a little bit, and there shouldn't be a rush to get to bed. Customs vary by country, of course, but Santa doesn't want to take away from family time and traditions and local customs and all that. I think instead of speed of his flight every year, the focus will now shift to, well, I guess efficiency. They're working on new ways of measuring Santa's delivery effectiveness, kind of like they do with sports, you know, and that going forward will be more of what Santa and the elf thing rather than information that is known and shared with the world, you know. We're going to keep stats.
Has the focus of Santa's flight, as it's been with ours, been a bad thing for the world?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a bad thing, Frank. More of an unnecessary distraction, I would say. Santa flies fast and hard, and he's always done it that way, and he was always going to do it that way. That's all people need to know. Whether Santa gets back to the North Pole just after midnight or just before the sun comes up doesn't really matter much in the end now, does it?
Well, I guess not, Crash. Interesting observations there. So Santa hasn't had much to say since setting the record?
No, not at all. But he's just not talking about the record, Frank. He's not talking at all, come to think about it, and that has some people a little weirded out since Christmas passed.
Yes, I've heard Santa has a message for elves, and by extension for the world, but that he hasn't delivered that message yet. Why hasn't he said anything, Crash?
I think he's waiting for the right time, Frank.
Have you talked to him?
Yeah, I met with him in his office about a week before Easter, finally. It's been a quiet time for me with Santa, too, but I think I understand what he's doing, and I don't think people need to worry about it.
Why, Crash? We're starting to see some concerned messages coming in, especially from elves working away from the North Pole. They are all waiting for Santa to say something because they've been told he has a message.
He does, Frank, but Santa knows that when he says things, he's big enough and famous enough that people are going to make a big deal of whatever he says. Sometimes the message gets lost simply because Santa's talking. It's like that year he said he was rooting for the Cubs to win the World Series. He said that in a casual way, you know, like a regular person. Santa loves baseball and he loves the Cubs. So he just said he wanted them to win the World Series, like any regular guy would say. Well, the sports media went crazy with that, and the odds makers all changed their mark for the Cubs, and the players and the managers had all this pressure put on them, and when the Cubs didn't win the World Series that year, everyone talked about what a letdown it had to be for Santa. Well, that was a big lesson for Santa, because he said what he said just as a regular guy. He learned that what he says, just about anything, people are going to kind of distort and misunderstand no matter what kind of words he uses. So Santa now avoids the media and saying much unless it's really, really important.
But I thought Santa has something important he wants to let elves know.
He does, but he's waiting for the right time to say it, Frank. I'll tell you this. Santa's very concerned about the state of the world. He's particularly concerned about the safety and the well-being of children. He's got something to say about all that, but he's going to wait to say it in the right place at the right time and not before.
Well, is everything okay?
Yeah, everything's fine, Frank. As we like to say here at the North Pole, we need to marry on. We need to get our jobs done and help Santa get ready for his next flight in every way that we can. It's early in this year still. We have a long way to go, so we're going to get ready and be happy in our work as we do so.
Okay, so we should close the book on last Christmas?
Well, no, we can still take questions and stuff. We never really stop looking back as we work towards our next flight, Frank. I still talk about flights that we took years ago, so we don't close the door exactly. But it is a time to look forward and talk about how we're going to make this year great.
Okay, Crash, how does this year look for you so far?
Well, you know, last year at this time, I was pretty nervous, Frank. It was my first year, as you remember, as the International Director of Santa Trackers, and I was uptight about that, and I worked really hard. This year, I'm going to be playing it kind of cool. I'm a veteran now in this job, so I'm going to relax a little bit and, you know, just kind of go with it.
So how do you think you did? Have you and Santa reviewed all of that yet?
No, Santa hasn't said a word to me about it, and that has me kind of curious. I have a list of stuff, well, you know, a whole notebook of things from last year that I keep looking at. I guess things turned out okay, but how am I to know? Right now, I'm just listening to our elves, evaluating their experience, and looking for new ways to make it better. I'm not going to worry too much beyond that until Santa or someone else says something about it to me. What about you, Frank? It sounds like this year's been a little, well, rough on you so far.
Yeah, I'm okay. I got sick in January and lost my voice for about 2 weeks. They made me take some vacation time to rest up, so I went down south and visited the family and saw some sights and stuff. But I'm okay, and I'm ready to work.
Well, that's good, Frank. It's been a long time since I've seen you under the weather like that. I'm glad they made you take some time off and that it happened at the time of year that it happened. Can you imagine how hard that would have been if you got so sick in November or December?
Yes, we've talked a lot about that. They told me that's why they wanted me to get some time away, so that come the fourth quarter of the year, I won't have to take more time off.
Frank, I can't remember a time when you ever took sick time. You just don't get sick much. So, you know, all that was kind of surprising to me.
It was to me too, Crash. But honestly, after about 10 days or so, I started to get a bit bored. I was more than ready to come back. How's your health, Crash?
Well, never better, knock on wood. I haven't missed a day. But it's early in the year, and my schedule's pretty soft, as it usually is after we complete a Christmas. Things are starting to pick back up, though, Frank, and I think moving forward we'll be putting in some hours.
Where do things stand officially in the world of Santa Trackers?
Well, as you know, Elf Max has been doing a lot of work on the website, and it's pretty evident that things are upgraded there. On the back end, though, where a lot of people can't see what's happening, we've expanded our servers to handle more traffic. That was a problem this past Christmas Eve, and we just got overwhelmed. So you won't see it on an everyday basis, but come next Christmas Eve, hopefully, it's all going to work better for more people than it did last year. A lot of work's been accomplished to that end for the North Pole websites. It's been a very big project.
Does that mean what is offered from the North Pole on its websites will look different next Christmas?
No, but how we allocate resources to handle the demand is completely improved. We're still holding meetings about what shows on each website on Christmas Eve, and we may announce some changes later this year, but we're still talking about all that right now.
How about the tracker elf out there right now, Crash? What's your message to them?
Well, my message to them is thank you for your part in making last Christmas work out so well, and get ready to do it again. Things are moving fast, and we're going to get bigger in our numbers and better at what we do. Just come along for the ride.
Crash, you had a chat a few weeks ago on SantaTrackers.net. Are you planning more of those?
Yeah, we'll do them about once a month until September, then maybe do a little more as the season ramps up.
Are you expecting anything new or different this year?
Not yet, Frank. Santa did tell me that my meetings with him will become more detailed starting around Leon Day in June. But he said he doesn't expect big changes for the tracker program. What about the news department, Frank?
Thanks for asking about that, Crash. We've been told to get back to work, so more podcasts and maybe radio news reports starting on a weekly basis beginning in just the next few weeks. Crash, thanks for being here on the Santa Tracker Podcast and for talking with us about Santa's ride last year. For North Pole Radio News, I'm Elf Frank Murr, reporting for the Santa Tracker Podcast, and thanking you for listening.